All right, we are going to do just a tiny bit of review. I'm glad to see that so many of you came back after last week. Did the Smarties help?
Yes.
Gene Kane says yes. Pastor says yes, they helped. Later, my mom and my brother were giving me a report, and they said some people were just like throwing them back really fast. Other people didn't want to take them. We handed out Smarties last week because it was a very difficult lesson. But we're going to do a little bit of a review. Before we move on to the Kalam argument again, does anybody remember what cosmology means? You don't have to have exact, precise answers, but help me to know that you're at least thinking and paying attention. Let's have a little bit of review and discussion. The study of origins, exactly. Cosmos, meaning the universe or the world. Ology, coming from logos, which means reason or thought. So what is the reason behind the universe? Every human being at some point or another must ask themselves the question, why is there something rather than nothing? Okay, so that's cosmology. So we talked about cosmology, and we began with probably the prime cosmological argument for the existence of God, which is the, you should all be able to get this because you use contextual clues. Yes, you use all resources around you that are available, that's okay. Many times when I would teach math and stuff, I'd actually put formulas and equations on the board. And it amazed me how many kids didn't even use it because they weren't even looking. Okay, use what's accessible. The Kalam argument. Now the Kalam argument is really cool because it brings together what three faiths in discussion about there being a God? Renee? Yes, it has a rich history in all three religions because all three of us are monotheists and we believe in a supernatural God, so it kind of has run the gamut. But I actually saw Hannah has his book right here. Your dad must have given this to you, huh? Mm-hmm. William Lane Craig, I know Joe Cox came up to me the other week and was asking about current material. This is one of the best books that's out there right now. William Lane Craig is a great apologist for Christianity today, contemporary. He wrote this book, and he is actually the guy who brought the Kalam argument to the forefront in the United States right now. The first cause argument, all right? Now, the Kalam argument is using a mathematical type of logical reasoning called what? What's that? Very good. It's using deductive reasoning. Specifically, a syllogism, yes. All right, now a syllogism, can anybody give me an example of one? You have a major premise, a minor premise, and therefore a very logical conclusion. Can anybody, one we did or one you're just going to make up in your head? Just don't gossip in saying so. Cindy is blah, blah, no, we won't make it specific. Okay, anybody? You got one? Yeah, go ahead.
All men are mortal. Aristotle is a man. Aristotle is mortal.
Very good. Okay, that was one that we used as an example. All men are mortal. So the category is mortal. If you're a man, you're automatically in that category. So when you identify Aristotle as a man, he must absolutely be mortal. It's an ironclad way of reasoning, deductive reasoning. The Kalam argument is a syllogism. What we need to establish, though, is when you have a syllogism, even if your reasoning is correct, the question is your major premise and your minor premise correct? Because you can have valid reasoning but come to a wrong conclusion if your premise is wrong. So we know that this reasoning process is correct, but we've got to establish, are the premises true? So everything that begins to exist has a cause, is premise number one in the Kalam argument. Premise number two, or the minor premise, is the material universe began to exist. Now, I showed you a way because my brain works in pictures and graph forms. So if you remember last week, I showed you a way to think about these syllogisms. Everything that begins to exist has a cause. So the category is has a cause, and everything that begins to exist must automatically have a cause. So this whole category fits into those things that have a cause. Then we said the material universe fits into the category of beginning to exist. So if it fits into this category, then it automatically what? Has a cause. That's the argument. That's the Kalam argument. Now, premise number one, everything that begins to exist that has a cause is called a first principle or a foundational belief. It's something philosophically that we say is self-evident or reducible to being self-evident. We don't need any further proof of that. We just understand by our own reasoning that if something suddenly begins to exist, it must have a cause. All right? However, premise number two, the material universe began to exist, that's possibly a debatable thing. Does anybody remember who was the group of people or where did this thought begin that the universe didn't have a beginning, that it's eternal? The Greeks. The Greeks really threw out there the notion and the thought that the material world, matter, is eternal, that it always was and always will be. So, in our modern society today, are there people who believe that the material universe is eternal? What do you think? What would force you to have to be in that category? Just think about it logically. If you were not a Christian, what would you... I mean, if you did not believe in God, not if you weren't a Christian, if you were a person who absolutely positively did not believe in a supernatural being, a God, then how do you explain the universe? And everybody's face is like, that's a rough one. Yeah, how do you? If you don't believe in a supernatural God, then how would you explain the universe? You'd have to say what? It must have just happened, right? You would either outright say, I believe that the universe is eternal, or you would say, what must have just happened? It must have evolved. But then we went back and we talked about last week that what evolved? What substance evolved into something more complicated? Where did that original substance come from, no matter how many cells you're talking about, right? So you keep going back in your mind, and if you're not going to pause it, if you're not going to believe that there's a supernatural being, then that material stuff, where did it come from? And eventually you must admit what? No matter how small it was in the beginning, no matter how many cells there were, no matter what amoebas you're believing in, they must have been always there if they weren't made. Do you understand that? Like, you have to keep going back. And so this is the thought in atheism where a lot of atheists want to battle the fact that the material universe began to exist. Now, let me grab the book that this is in. Yes, here it is. This is another great book. I mean, I always like to put books out there. I don't know if anybody's actually buying or reading any of the books I'm telling you about. Is anybody? No. Lindsay said no, absolutely not. We're not. Okay, well, good. Does anybody read in here? Does anybody read? Yeah. What do you read? Darlene, what's the last book you've read? Oh, that's cool. Okay, well, no, it's good. I liked it. The other day, who was I talking? Oh, Benjamin Cox. He came into youth group, the poor kid. This is what happens to kids when they come to youth group. He sits down on the couch. Hey, Ben, how you doing? What's on your reading list lately? What have you been reading? He just looks at me. But he did have a reading list, so that was interesting. It tells you a lot. Okay, so anyway, Why I Am a Christian. It's a good book. It's a good apologetic book. Nobody writes the title down because I know nobody's going to read it. But anyway, William Lane Craig is one of the people that's quoted in here, and he's talking about atheists and their unwillingness to believe that the universe had a beginning. But he quotes some of their own material goes against them. For example, David Hume, who is an atheist of the 1700s, major, major influential atheist, was quoted as saying, "But allow me to tell you that I never asserted so absurd a proposition as that anything might arise without a cause." Then, another contemporary atheist philosopher, Kai Nielsen, gives this illustration. Now, this is an atheist saying this. "Suppose you suddenly hear a loud bang, and you ask me what made that bang, and I reply, nothing, it just happened. You would not accept that fact. In fact, you would find my reply quite unintelligible." So those are atheists themselves. The thing is, they want to say that there's a cause to little, bangs, if you're talking about the Big Bang, but there's no cause to the Big Bang. So this is the point that we're going to talk about, and there's two major reasons, scientifically, philosophically, that a person should believe that the material universe had a beginning. Before we go there, let's review this. Why does this, number one, premise not apply to God? Right, because he never began to exist. God never began to exist. That's the difference. Where, if somebody asks you, where could you show me in the Bible that God never began to exist? Anybody, could anybody point to a reference? What do you stand on? Psalm chapter 90. Psalm chapter 90 is an awesome chapter. It's a wonderful chapter. Every Christian ought to read it and study it if you want to get perspective. Psalm chapter 90. As a matter of fact, let's just turn there for a minute before we start and get our heads in the Bible first. Because I want to tell you something. The Bible was not written to be a science book, but it covers science. Amen? It was not written to be a science book, but science eventually catches up with what the Bible says. And this is so cool. Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 and 2. I love verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place where? Throughout all generations. In all generations. That's basically saying every person can find their home and can dwell in who? In God. Because God has always been there. Because verse 2 is going to go on to say, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And if you kind of picture that in timeline form, you have all of eternity past and all of eternity future, and you have this one little spot. God is everywhere. God is timeless. He's in the past. He's in the present. He's in the future. And then we have this one little speck called time when he created the universe. And here we are, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Now, the other thing I like about Psalm 90, if you go down and read it, we won't take time to read the whole thing. Verse 10. I love this verse. The Bible is so brutally honest. All right? Tell me this isn't awesome. The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. How many of you fall into the if we have the strength category? No, I don't think I'm going to make that far. Okay, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but, what does it say? Trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Amen? There's a lot of good stuff that happens in life, but the bottom line is God alone is eternal and good. Life is very difficult. It is a struggle in the sin-cursed world. It only lasts a very brief amount of time, and then we fly away. How many of you like that old hymn? Amen. I'll fly away. Let's burst out into a round of it. Darling, you want to lead us? No, you look all excited. Okay. You're the only one that's reading, so you might as well lead us in the hymn. No, but that is a really cool verse, and it gives you perspective, doesn't it? And I think it's then in verse 12 where it says, so then teach us to number our days. Teach us to understand that our days are brief so that we might gain a heart of wisdom. It is a very wise thing to think about the end. You know, that was a message of a couple weeks ago, but that is really important. Because we have no fear of the end, do we? Because when the end comes, it's wrapped up in a timeless God. It's not the end to Him. Amen? The end of Shelley Prindle is not the end of God. When I come to the end of myself, I simply come right into the beginning of God, as it were. Because He's timeless. Isn't that cool? Frank.
Also, Job 38.
Yeah, read that for us. Read that verse.
Verse 4. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand.
Very good. And that's Job 38:4. Job 38:4, Frank just brought to our attention. And I love it. You know, Job's doing all this, you know, complaining to God about everything he's going through. And God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I don't know. I wasn't around. Yes. Okay. I wasn't around. No. You weren't around. All right. So the greater reality is God is timeless. He has no beginning. He has no end. And you have to get that thought ingrained into your brain as a believer. You have to understand this. And then you'll begin to see how scientifically it makes sense compared to the other beliefs. One other thing I want to go to, well, one more reference. Let's go to Job 36, just two chapters ahead of Frank's chapter there. Job 36, verse 26. This is going to become very, very real to you at probably the end of this session. Job 36, 26. Anybody want to read that one out loud? Anybody ready, Sue? Okay. Job chapter 36. Give everybody just one more minute till they get there. Yeah. Job 36. Verse 26. And I was asked last week, would you write the verses on the board? I know I get going, I get excited. I'll write them up here. Remind me if I don't. Okay, Job 36, verse 26. Go ahead, Sue.
How great is God beyond our understanding? The number of His years is past finding out.
Very good. And literally in the Hebrew, past finding out means unsearchable. You're unable to do a search on it and find the answer. Okay? So His years are beyond finding out. Now that's going to become very real to you because we are going to dig in today. Marty is already falling over in her chair. All I said was we're going to dig in today. And Marty goes, oh my goodness.
You can't Google him.
Oh, you can't Google him, yes. You can't Google him. That's good. That's a good Facebook quote. He's beyond the search engine, you know. That's good.
Or Bing him or whatever else.
Good. Bing, yes. Can't Bing him. Okay. Isn't that a city, Bingham? All right, so anyway. Yeah, I know. All right, let's go to the Kalam argument here. Now, I told you last week, here's what we're going to do. There are two reasons, scientifically and philosophically, has nothing to do with being a Christian. It just has to do with the way things are. There are two reasons, logically, that a person should believe that the material universe began to exist. Now, there's obviously other reasons, and if you're a Christian, there's God. But I just want to talk to you about ways to dialogue and ways to think and encourage your own faith, deepen your own faith into what we believe. So, here's the reasons. Because it's impossible to cross an actual infinite. Oh, you know this is my favorite. I like this one too. I was reviewing this with Bria the other day and she said, I am so done with the second law of thermodynamics. Okay. That's all right. I am too. I can't wait for it to be over. But here's the two reasons. Now this is the one we're going to start today. All right. The reason we know that the material universe had a beginning and is not eternal, is not as great as God, that matter is not equal to God, is because it's impossible to cross an actual infinite. Now this personally is one of my, before I ever knew about the Kalam argument, way back, you know, I got my undergrad degree in mathematics. I taught math for 11 years. Taught it in a high school classroom. I love math. I actually had been studying infinity for some years before I ever even was familiar with the Kalam argument. I actually corresponded with a biographer of Isaac Newton to verify some of my thoughts about infinity. I have this whole thing that someday I hope to write a paper on, if I can ever go back to school, all right, about infinity. So I personally love it very much. This is really cool. Now, I think that you'll be able to grasp this. This is a general argument that you will read about in apologetic books. It is impossible to cross an actual infinite, therefore we know the universe must have had a beginning. Now, I want you to think logically with me for a minute. This is an if-then statement. Syllogisms, their major premises are if-then statements. If Aristotle is a man, then he is mortal. Okay, this is an if-then statement. If, I know, now everybody put your thinking caps on. I see, I love it. Our back row dwellers are actually very good students. Many people in the back row right now, I won't say who they are, in the back two rows, I see this. The eyes start to squint. They're really paying attention. So watch this. If an infinite number of moments occurred before today, everybody can handle that? Then today would have never come. Just let that sink in. Since it's impossible to traverse an infinite number of moments. Now, what we need to establish first is what is infinity? Can anybody define for me what infinity is? What number is infinity? I'm asking that question that way for a very specific purpose. What number is infinity? And the answer is, come on, our up-and-coming math teacher, infinity is not very good. Our up-and-coming math teacher. Okay, infinity is not a number. Okay, you don't start, you know, if I grab little Taya, and she would love this. Taya, would you start counting, please? Count to 100 million? I'll keep her busy for a while. Okay. So she goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, you keep counting, 50 billion, 863 quadrillion, you know, and you keep going, you keep counting, keep counting, keep counting. When do you get to infinity? Why do you never get there? Because every time you get to a number, you can get to, and that's what infinity means. Infinity means without bounds, without boundaries. Okay, that's what it really means. Mathematically, it is a concept, not a number. And it simply means without boundaries. Now, I don't want to get too technical with you. Well, actually, I do, and I'm going to get technical with you. I'm going to teach you some calculus soon. Oh, Cindy. I taught calculus to kindergarten teachers, and they were like, yes, I love this. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of calculus. But suffice it to say, and if there are engineers in the room, they would verify what I'm about to tell you. It is necessary to use the concept of infinity to do any calculus whatsoever. Integrals are built on the concept of reaching an infinite limit, correct? Now, I actually have a visual to show this. So one time when I did a Sunday morning message to a general group of people and I brought that in, you have to build bridges in our world, our physical universe. You must build bridges and build things, use math, and build bridges on the basis of infinity. But you can't really have infinity in the universe. And this is the whole thing that someday, you mark my words, because I'm being recorded now. One day I want to go back to school and earn my doctorate, and I want my doctoral thesis to be on this. I believe that there is a reason for that. I believe that it is the basis of 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Listen, for our light and momentary troubles, our finite life, our finite troubles, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Therefore we fix our eyes not on what we can see, the stuff in this world, we can't ever reach infinity in this life, we can't ever have it here. We fix our eyes not on what we can see, for what we can see is temporary, but what we can't see, God is eternal. And I believe He purposely made math to be so that we have to build on the concept of infinity without ever being able to touch it in this life. And that the only way that you get anything that lasts forever is if you consider eternal God in what you're doing in your finite life. But anyway, infinity is not a number. It's the concept that if I count, I can always count a next number. You may not even be able to name the next number, but you can count to the next place. So, if an infinite number of moments occurred before today, if the universe is truly eternal, then how many moments occurred before today arrived? Infinity. But you can never come to an end with infinity. Are you with me? So if there's an infinite number of moments back there, then I can't ever get to today. But I find myself standing here today. Alright, so today has come. Therefore, there was a finite number of moments before today. The universe had a beginning. Now, to help some of you who don't think as, you know, some of you are very auditory learners and you can read that and you can think about that and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. I even see some heads going like this. But we're going to use a few examples to help get this into your brain. It gets me so excited because it's not really about math, it's really about God. This is so exciting. That our God is infinite and eternal. We're stuck in these moments of time, but these moments of time have meaning because He takes them outside of time. This is so cool. Alright, so watch this. I'm actually, this picture that I put on the PowerPoint is adapted from an illustration that you could find in another good book you'd like to read. The God Question, An Invitation to a Life of Meaning. This is J.P. Moreland. And he's one of my favorite guys. Now, he wrote this book to Christians and non-Christians. And actually, if you have anyone in your life who is a true skeptic that would be open to reading a book, the purpose of him writing this book is he's saying, in America today, we have everything. We are spoiled brats, but we still have high rates of depression and nobody seems satisfied. And this book is a book to combat that and show people how to live a life of meaning. But of course he uses apologetics because he's saying this isn't like a feel-good philosophy. This is hard truth, what God offers to us. Yes, Barb.
What was the reference to Corinthians?
Oh, thank you. I was told to write things down. I get too worked up. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. You're welcome. All right. So here, try to picture this with your mind. Okay, here's a number line. Now, normally when our kids start going to school, kindergarten, first grade, we introduce them to a number line. It usually goes from the left to the right because they're learning to count forward. Well, we're all past second grade in here, so we're going to go from the middle backward, and those are called what kind of numbers? Negative numbers. Google it, Marty. Okay, negative numbers. Those are called negative numbers, all right? Yes, you remember your timeline. Isn't this fun? Don't you love to get the brain all oiled up again and working? This is exciting. What? I don't know. I got to teach a math class, too. This gets me all worked up. I just get so excited. All right, so here's a number line. Zero is the origin. To the right, we've got the positive integers. To the left, we've got the negative integers. Okay? So here's a number line. Here's zero. And this is the present. We are right here in the present moment. I realize the moment keeps changing as I keep talking, but okay. Let's call this, what's today, the 16th? June 16th of 2013. Here we are. Now, all of these over here to the right would be the future. We're not dealing with the future. I want to deal with the past. Okay. So this is the present. So on the number line, we move backwards and we say, okay, let's let negative 1 be June 15th, negative 2 be June 14th, June 13th, and we just keep moving backwards. Does everybody understand that concept? So somewhere way back here at negative, 80,000 might be the year 1700. And you just keep going back. You keep going back to 1500 BC when Moses lived. You just keep going back. Okay? Now, if the universe never had a beginning, then what number is back there? What number do you end at back there? If the universe had no beginning? Infinity. But is infinity a number? No. So you have no reference point. You have no beginning. Now watch this. Because I thought, what's a good way to understand this? And here's the way my simplified mind works. This is a question I want to ask you. Everybody think with me. This is actually a test. It's a test. Everybody have paper? If I asked you to count from negative 10 to 0, let's do it. Does anybody think they can count from negative 10 to 0? David Daniels cannot. What college are you attending? Are you attending college? Do your parents know? Okay, negative 10 to 0. Who can count from negative 10 to 0? Come on. Wait, Cindy's volunteered. Go ahead. It's a test. No, you're right, I could tell. Negative 10, I could tell. Okay, you lost your negatives in there because you got impatient. But yes, okay, very good. She did it right. To count from negative 10 to 0, now this is how long it takes. Negative 10, negative 9, negative 8, negative 7, negative 6, negative 5, negative 4, negative 3, negative 2, negative 1, 0. Everybody understand that? Now, how long does that take? Not too long. Not too long. We can do it. What if I asked you to count from negative 1 million to 0? It would take a very long time. But could you do it? Yeah, you could technically do it. You could go negative 1 million. Cindy, this is your assignment. Come back next week and you'll be done. Negative 1 million. Negative 999,999. You could do that. It would take a very long time, but is everybody thinking in their brain, but that is possible? Okay. What if I asked you to count from negative nonillion to zero? First of all, your question would be, Shelley, what is negative nonillion? It's what follows negative octillion, which follows negative septillion. Okay, here's how it goes. It goes million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, septillion, octillion, nonillion. Okay, so we're back to, it is actually a 1 with 30 zeros behind it. Okay, million has 6 zeros. This is a 1 with 30 zeros behind it. Now, if I asked you to count from negative nonillion to 0, how long would that take you? Way too long to do. However, could it be done? And the answer is yes. That is a really long time ago. Maybe the universe existed and started a very long time ago, but even if it started negative nonillion years ago, we could still go back and go to where it started and count forward and get to today. Is everybody with me? Because now you're going to have a revelation. Here we go. What if I asked you to count from negative infinity to 0? And the answer is, you can't do it. Because you can't go back, you can't get started. What do you mean negative infinity to 0? Shelley, I can't, I'm reaching back, I'm going back, I don't know where to start. That's right, you can't. Hence, you cannot actually cross a true number of infinite moments in this world. You can't count from negative infinity to 0. If the universe had no beginning, we couldn't even get started counting its past. It doesn't make logical sense. You see that? Because it is impossible for us as humans to traverse an actual infinite number. Now, when I was sitting explaining this one day, and I actually have to credit, this is Bria's idea, the black hole kind of thing. J.P. Moreland talks about this too, as a bottomless pit, but I want you to think about something. So if you've got your number line, and you picture it this way, okay, we'll put the origin in the middle again. If you picture a number line, and this is 0, and all the numbers are going this direction, and you're trying to count. What if we tilt the number line and we go up and down like this? And we put 0 here, and this would be all the positives, and this would be all the negatives. Okay? Now, if I asked you to count from 0 into the future, could you start? Now, we as Christians believe that our future is how long? Infinitely long. We do believe that, correct, as Christians. But if I ask you to start counting to the future infinity, you could get started, right? Would you be able to finish? Very good. Now I get that you guys really are getting this. So I want you to picture, like, this is like a big black hole, like a big abyss, okay? Now watch this. If you start at 0 and you try to count into an infinite future, you can get started. But it would be like you trying to leap off a platform and jump out of walls that are infinitely tall. Okay? If I stood on this floor and I tried to jump as high as I could. I could try, but I would never be able to jump infinitely high. But I could at least get started. If I tell you to not start at 0, but I ask you to count from negative infinity forward instead of from 0 to positive infinity, if I say go back to negative infinity and count forward, the problem is what? You can't get started. That is like trying to not jump off a platform out of infinitely high walls. That would be like trying to jump out of a bottomless pit and get started. There's nowhere to start from. This is one of the reasons that we know that mathematicians and philosophers would say it is impossible for us as human beings to traverse an actual infinite amount. J.P. Moreland says it this way in the creation hypothesis. He says, since one cannot cross an actual infinite, regardless of whether you count to positive infinity from 0 or to zero from negative infinity, then the present moment could never have arrived as the universe were beginningless. That means that since the present is real, it was only preceded by a finite past, and there was a beginning or a first event. Does that make sense? That's just logic. That's not Christian thinking, that's just thinking. Now, let's talk one more. I want to show you infinity, as beautiful as it is, and I love the concept, infinity does not make sense in the rational world, in the real world, in the tangible world. For example, it leads to contradictions. What is infinity plus infinity? Anybody?
Infinity.
Infinity, correct? What is infinity minus infinity? Infinity, correct? See, Marty, you like math. You're into this, I can tell. Okay, now watch this. Let's see if you still like it after this. That doesn't make any sense. Infinity plus infinity is infinity. Infinity minus infinity is infinity. Now watch this. The natural numbers are the numbers that start at zero and go forward, all the positives, they go like this, off into infinity. Those are the natural numbers, okay, right here. So if I ask you to subtract all the odd numbers from all the natural numbers. Now, there's an infinite amount of natural numbers. This goes off into infinity here. We could just keep counting. But if I ask you to subtract all the odd numbers from this, you would have to strike out what? 1, 3, 5, 9. Keep going off into infinity. How many numbers would you have left then? You'd have an infinite number of even numbers. So, in this case, infinity minus infinity equals infinity. But watch this. Now, this is where it gets really screwy. This is why infinity in the tangible world does not make sense and why we know the universe must have had a beginning. What if I take the same set of numbers and I ask you to subtract all numbers that are greater than 2 from this? Okay? What would we have to begin striking out? Everything after this would be gone. So we had an infinite number, and we subtracted an infinite number from it, and what did we get? How many numbers are left?
3.
So infinity minus infinity equals infinity, but infinity minus infinity also equals 3. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Okay, infinity is not a concept that you can actually play with in the real world. You can't traverse it. You can't deal with it. It's out of control. Infinity is absolutely out of control. It does whatever it wants to do, and you can't deal with it in this life. Which is kind of cool, because God is what? He's out of control. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and you can't pin him down in the real world. Okay? So it is a reflection of his nature. One more thing about why we can't traverse an actual infinite. Okay, see this wall over here? That wall right there by the door. I'm going to try to walk to that wall. Do you think I can do it? Before I can get the whole way to that wall, I've got to get halfway to the wall, correct? But before I can get halfway to the wall, I have to get half of that distance, which is a fourth of the way to the wall. But before I can get a fourth of the way to the wall, I have to get an eighth of the way to the wall. But before I can do that, I've got to get a 16th. Now, mathematically speaking, I have to get a 32nd, a 64th, a 128th. Do you get where I'm going? So, if I have to keep getting those little steps, how many of those fractional divisions are there between me and the wall? Infinity. Huh? I have to take an infinite number of steps to get to the wall? But I'm here. Infinity is a concept that is absolutely necessary in math. That part you don't quite get yet unless you're an engineer or a math person. Infinity is a concept that is absolutely necessary. However, in the real world, it can't be wrangled. It can't be dealt with. It doesn't make any sense. There's an infinite number of steps between me and that wall, but I can get there in a few seconds. Does everybody see that? Okay, now, we did all that. We talked about infinity today to show evidence towards this. The material universe must have had a beginning. Because today is here. If today is here, there cannot possibly be what behind us? There cannot possibly be an infinite number of moments behind us. The universe must have had a starting point. That is one of the mathematical or philosophical reasons that we know that the universe had a beginning. What do you think? Yeah. Okay. All right. It is 10:30, so I'm going to have to stop it right there. We'll come back next week. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 4 next week, and we're going to get into the second law of thermodynamics, okay? As another reason. Let's pray before we go. Father, I just thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you that you show us through the mathematical principles that you have chosen to run this universe. You show us something about your nature. You are amazing. You blow our minds, Lord. And even though we can't deal with the infinite, we need it, but we can't deal with it. We can't control it. You absolutely are in control of everything. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the concept of infinity, that we can think about your eternal nature, that we can have a hope that goes beyond a finite number of moments in this life. God, you are good. I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to keep pondering these thoughts. Let us be able to get into conversations with people, Father, who do not believe in you, who might be open to thinking about these things. We just pray in Jesus' name that we would be lights and witnesses for your truth. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.